Like Brother Gary said, lots of renovations going on over in the gym. Sunday, we're over in the gym with the Young family and Brother Mike himself, and we had some fried chicken and things like that, feeding them for lunch. And Carter needed to go use the facilities, so we quickly ran into the men's restroom. I forgot that they had already removed the commodes and things from there. So I opened the door, and he looks, and there's nothing there, and he just went, it's pretty funny. It's exciting seeing what God's doing, and looking forward to getting all those renovations finished. Like Brother Gary said, continue to pray for Pastor as he is in Alabama. Pray that God blesses the meetings down there, and pray for him. He's got to spend a couple days with Brother Brad Griffin. You know, that could be rough on anybody. No, they're having a great time. Brother Brad's been out knocking doors quite a bit through the week. And they've been an encouragement to a lot of people there. In regards to the mission conference, we've got a lot of exciting things going on for our children. And mission conference is probably one of my favorite times of the year. I love mission conference. I love getting the flags up in here and the posters and all this kind of stuff. For the children, if your child has not received a bank yet, I have the extras in my office. We gave those out last week in cadets. If your child is not in cadets, perhaps not of age to be in there, or whatever the case might be, please come see me. We'll get them a bank. They can decorate it and start getting scraping some pennies and things together. I'd encourage you with this. Like Pastor said before, if they're doing tasks and things around the house, allow them to earn money to put into their bank in order to give back to the Lord and to give back to missions. So those banks are available in my office. We will have passports available for each of the children. This is something they get very excited about. They'll get to go around to different countries each night, get their passport stamped, and if they get all the stamps throughout Mission Conference, then they will get a special prize at the end. And we will be having our Parade of Nations as well. That sign-up sheet will be available on Sunday, so make sure you sign up your child. Teenagers all the way down to 5 years old can sign up for the Parade of Nations, and again, looking forward to Mission Conference. Psalm chapter 37, we'll begin reading here in just a minute. We'll read down to verse number 9. I was reading this in my devotions. It's been honestly several months ago, and I planned to preach this last time I preached and just felt the Lord leading elsewhere. But God has used this passage tremendously in my heart. There's so many challenging things in this small portion of Scripture. And it's interesting how it's laid out, and we'll kind of go through and examine some things as we step through this passage. But in this 37th chapter of Psalm, we see a continuous comparison between just and unjust, between the righteous and unrighteous, between the godly and the workers of iniquity. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." I'd like to draw your attention to a few things that are given within this particular passage. If you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, this passage in my Bible has been marked like crazy. There's so much stuff in here. I like to write things in the margin of my Bible, but if you'd like to underline these phrases, in verse number 3, underline the phrase, "Trust in the Lord." Verse number 4, underline the phrase, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Verse number 5, underline the phrase, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Verse number 7, underline the phrase, "Rest in the Lord." And one more point that we'll get to in a little while. Jump over to verse number 34. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord." Again, want to draw your attention to each of these points. Kind of spend a little bit of time with each one tonight. And ask God to speak to your heart through this. And let's all apply this to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you that I can call you my Father. Lord, we're thankful that you care about us, Lord. We know there are many folks in our church who are hurting right now, many who are in the hospitals, many who are needing peace from you, Lord, needing a touch from you, Lord. I pray that you just bless our church family. Again, we pray for Pastor as he's away. Bless him as he's preaching here in a little bit down in Alabama. Just bless that meeting in a mighty way. I pray that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. And Lord, here as we meet gathered around your word tonight, speak to our hearts. I thank you for how you've spoken to my heart. and give us a good evening, we pray. Bless the cadets as they're meeting. Bless Brother John as he's speaking to them. Just do a great and mighty work on these grounds tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, in this particular passage, verses 1 through 9, we see a natural comparison that's given between good things, between evil things, between the workers of iniquity and between the godly. You know, God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And in this particular passage of Scripture, there's a natural order that is given. And honestly, all throughout the Bible, God has given natural order to things. When God created the world, He created it in a specific order for a specific reason. When God told Noah to build the ark, He told him to build it in a specific way for a specific reason. Just imagine if God said, "Okay, Noah, on the first day, I want you to go get all the animals, and a couple days later, I want you to start building this ark." It would have been mass confusion, mass chaos. God is a God of order. And God, just as He told Noah to build the ark in a specific way, He wants us to build our lives in specific ways. God wants us to build our life in a specific order, and that order is according to His Word. Here we see, again, that we need to be patterning our lives decently and in order. And this particular passage gives us somewhat of an order that we should pattern our lives after. According to J. Vernon McGee, this Psalm of David is an experience of David and a promise of future blessings to the remnant of Israel, written in the form of an acrostic. So this particular passage is written in acrostic form. Not an acrostic like we would normally think of as far as a particular word that's spelled out, but in this particular passage, it's actually the Hebrew alphabet. You see a couple passages starting with the first letter, a couple starting with the second letter, a couple starting with the third letter, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting that David uses this particular writing style in this particular passage. We've got two young boys at home. We're teaching our boys as much as we possibly can. When Carter was learning his ABCs, we had books that would step him through the ABCs, and then you'd have pictures. A is for apple, B is for baby, C is for cat, so on and so forth. So when I think about this passage, as I was studying today and reading J. Vernon McGee's notes on this, I never really thought about that. I never heard about that before. But it's laid out in an ABC type format, trying to make it as simple as possible for God's people, for the children of Israel at this particular time. So again, we see a natural order that is given here. And anytime you see a list in the Bible, there's a reason for the order that list is in. And here we see an outline. The first thing I'd like to draw your attention to, point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing is trust in the Lord. And we see this in verse number three. Verse number three, trust in the Lord. The word trust means to place confidence in and to truly rely on. Now think about that. This verse isn't saying trust in yourself, although oftentimes we try to do that. This isn't saying trust in other people, and we have a lot of people that we truly trust. This is saying trust in the Lord, the only one who we can truly confide in, the only one who we can truly rely on. We should truly trust in Him. We're instructed to trust in the Lord no matter what the circumstances might be. When we're truly trusting in God, we're not going to worry about what is going on around us. And that brings us back to the beginning of the passage, verse 1, verse number 2, talking about fret not against evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I'll never forget when myself, Pastor, Brother Radford were over in India, some of the college students taught us a song. And the chorus of that song was, "Men of the world may let you down, but Jesus never fails." Okay, we ought not let evildoers get us down in the dumps. We ought not let people discourage us. We ought to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. If we're truly trusting in Him, although other people are going to let us down, God is going to pave the way for us. God is going to truly direct our steps, as we see in verse number 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." So we should trust in the Lord. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Jump down to the latter part of verse number 1. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So many times we're envious. We are envious people. We look at things that other people have, and we want them. And so many times we respond in a wrong way when somebody else has something nicer than us, when somebody else has something better than us. We often say, well, why don't I have that? You look at people that are famous and all this kind of stuff, and you think, you know, if I just had a small little piece of what they had. And we start to envy, and our minds start running and running and running with that. Well, God says here that we ought not be envious against workers of iniquity. We ought not be envious against those who are not doing the right thing. Back in the fall, I had the privilege to go out to West Coast Baptist College for just a little weekend type thing. It was a youth pastor summit that they had out there. One night after one of the sessions, a friend of mine that I went to college with, it was about 9 o'clock. He said, "Hey, you know, we're in California. Let's go see the sights a little bit." So I figured, hey, why not? Let's take a little drive. So we drove about an hour and a half down to Hollywood, the Beverly Hills type area, and it is ridiculous how much money is down there. Ridiculous the size of the homes. We're driving around, and by the way, by the time we got there, it's probably like 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, so you really couldn't see anything, so the trip was basically wasted, but we were there. I mean, we were there. We're driving through the 90210 zip code, and a friend of mine pulls up on his phone this app that shows you the value of different homes. And it was mind-blowing. You drive by, and not just one place, but place after place after place, mansion after mansion after mansion, $32 million, $54 million, $68 million, and on and on and on and on it went. And my mind kind of got thinking a little bit, you know, if I just had a little bit of that, that'd be great. Pay off my house, you know, all this kind of stuff. But we shouldn't respond that way. We shouldn't be envious of evildoers, okay? We shouldn't be envious. And a lot of these houses that we're driving by are different celebrities and things like that. We should be thankful for what God has given us. And we should realize that the Bible says in verse number 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Again, we ought not envy the wicked. The Life Application Study Bible says this: "We should never envy the wicked, even though some may be extremely popular or excessively rich, no matter how much they have, it will fade and vanish like the grass that withers and dies. Those who follow God live differently from the wicked, and in the end will have greater treasures in heaven. What the unbeliever gets may last a lifetime if he's lucky. But what you get from following God lasts forever." Again, this is from the Life Application Study Bible. The next thing I'd like to draw your attention to: don't be distracted and envious by what others have. Charles Spurgeon said this: "The destruction of the ungodly will be speedy, sudden, sure, overwhelming, and irretrievable. Don't be consumed by prosperity and materialism. Just trust in the Lord." By the way, God will bless your life if you're simply trusting in Him. God will provide your needs, as the Bible says. Dr. Lee Robertson, I'll never forget, he spoke at Crown College a number of times when I was there as a student. Our graduating class was the last one that he spoke at the commencement for. But I'll never forget Dr. Robertson standing behind that pulpit, and he would kind of lean on it with one arm, and he would hold out that crooked finger with the other arm, and he would say, "Have faith in God." He'd say, "College students, have faith in God. Temple Baptist Church, have faith in God. And I say to you tonight, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, have faith in God. Trust in God. God's never let you down, and He never will let us down. We need to truly trust in Him." Charles Spurgeon said this: "Faith cures fretting." So instead of fretting, let's have faith. Let's ask God to increase our faith in Him on a daily basis. Verse number 3, again, take a look at this. The Bible says, "And do good." So we should trust in God, and we should also do good in addition to that. True faith is actively obedient. If we're truly trusting God, then we won't hesitate to obey Him. We sing a song often in children's church and in VBS and things like that: obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. A lot of times we say, "Yeah, I trust God," and we'll say that with our mouth, but honestly, our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words. So may God help us to truly be obedient to Him in everything. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. often said this: "Do right till the stars fall, just do right." Let's make sure that we're trusting in God, make sure that we're doing good, as the Bible says in verse number 3 here. And that draws us to our next point. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." So we've seen that we need to trust in God. Number 2, we need to see in verse number 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord." That word "delight" means a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind, and it also means joy. What do you delight in? There's so many things that we delight in. We delight in food. We delight in sports. We delight in shopping. We delight in vacationing, and on and on and on and on we could go. How much different would our lives be if we truly said, "You know what, I'm going to make it a point today to truly delight in God. I'm going to make it a point today to truly delight in God in every single thing I do. I want to give Him the honor and glory. I want to make sure others also see that I'm truly delighting in Him." How much different would our lives be if we're truly doing that? When we're delighting in Him, He'll give us the desires of our heart, the Bible says. That doesn't mean that God will give us anything and everything that we want. That doesn't mean that, hey, we show up to church on Sunday and say, hey, God, I'm delighting in You. How about You give me a new car? That's not happening, okay? Obviously, we know that. But God, this simply means that when we're truly trusting in and delighting in Him, the Lord will put in our hearts a desire to do more for Him. You know, it's not human nature to want to serve the Lord. Our human flesh desires to do things that are not pleasing to God. But when we're truly delighting in Him, asking Him to give us His desires, then He'll truly do that when we're truly trusting in Him and delighting in Him. So point number one, trust in the Lord. Point number two, delight in the Lord. Point number three, see this in verse number five. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Again, this is in verse number five. The Bible says this, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit means to literally send, to throw, put or lay upon, to give in trust, to put into hands or the power of another, and to entrust. Okay? So the Bible's saying here that if we are truly committing ourselves to the Lord, then we are entrusting ourselves to Him. And by the way, that's not just our physical being. That's every single aspect of our lives. Every single thing about us should be committed to God. I think about my two little boys at home. I think about when we found out that my wife was expecting Carter. After that, when we were expecting Paxton. We knew that those boys weren't ours. That God has given them to us on loan, basically. We're to give them back to Him. We have committed those little boys to God. Whatever God wants us to do, whatever God wants them to do, may God help us to say yes, sir, and allow them to do what He wants. And I'm sure that gets harder as the days go by. But we know that God has given us those little boys for just a short amount of time. We must commit them, truly commit them unto Him. By the way, before committing our children, we must first commit ourselves. I'll never forget when I was at teen camp, my senior year in high school, my youth pastor was preaching through the week, and God moved in a mighty way. I don't know if He spoke to anyone else, but God got a hold of my heart that particular week at camp. And the theme that year was, will you be the one? Will you be the one to answer to His call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take His light into this darkened world? Will you be the one? And that summer, as God got a hold of my heart, I determined, saying, God, I'm giving my life to You. God, I want to be the one to serve You with my life. God, in this youth group, I want to be the one that stands up and does something for You. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of making normal camp decisions that last for about a week and then they kind of fizzle out. God, I want to completely commit myself to You. And I'll never forget this. Kneeling down beside a rickety metal chair in the chapel at Pleasant Valley Ranch in Mansfield, Ohio, I said, God, I'm committing myself to You. God, take my life. God, I don't know what You want me to do with my life, but I'm surrendering at this point. Question, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've been coming to this church for a long time or maybe just a little bit of time. Have you truly committed your life to the Lord? And by the way, there's been a number of times in my life where I've not done the right thing, but I can truly look back at that point in my life and say, you know what, that's when I committed my life to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. We should commit our lives to the Lord. We should commit our families to the Lord. We should commit our jobs to the Lord, our professions, our occupations, whatever the case might be. You know, God has you in the particular occupation that you're in for a reason. It's not just a paycheck, although that's a blessing that God gives us, and thank Him for it. But think about, what kind of trade are you involved in? What kind of business are you involved in? What kind of occupation are you in day in and day out? How could you use that particular occupation to serve God more? Again, it's not just a 9-to-5 type thing. God doesn't give you that particular skill just to go to your workplace and come home and that's it. I'm thankful for many people in my life who have used different things that God has taught them to be a blessing to my family and I, or to other people in the church, or seeing them minister to maybe a bus family or whatever the case might be. God has given us things for a reason. That reason is to honor and glorify Him. We should make sure we're committing our jobs, our occupations, our skills, our talents, our trades. We should commit those things unto the Lord. The next thing here, letter D, underneath point number 3, have you truly committed your possessions to the Lord? You know, God has given you things for a reason as well. Certain things that could be a blessing to other people. For example, thankful for several families who stepped up and said, hey, I'll host some of these college students for a weekend. They realized, hey, you know what? This house that God has given me is not mine. It's for me to use to be a blessing to other people, and I appreciate that. We should make sure we're committing our lives to the Lord. We should make sure we're committing our families to the Lord. We should commit our jobs to the Lord. We should commit our possessions, and on and on and on we could go, but just for sake of time, I wanted to hit on those 4 things. That brings us to point number 4. So we've seen that we must trust in the Lord. We've seen point number 2, we should delight in the Lord. Point number 3, we should commit our ways unto the Lord. By the way, there's a lot of things in life that we commit to, and we ought to commit to God first. There's a lot of things in life that we say, oh, I've made this commitment. Oh, I've got to stick to it. What about when you bow down on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to save you? So many times we forget about that time in our lives. So many times we forget about that quote-unquote commitment. Let's make sure that Christ is always the priority and make sure that he always has first place in our lives. Point number 4, we see in verse number 7, the Bible says that we should truly rest in the Lord. We should rest in the Lord. To rest means to be quiet, to repose, a state of free from motion or disturbance, a state of reconciliation to God. Letter A underneath this. Rest requires waiting. Rest requires waiting. Letter B underneath this, we see that rest is the result of labor. If you're laboring hard and long in a particular day, you want some rest. You want to get home and kick your feet up a little bit and kind of relax. Okay? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The next thing, letter C underneath this, rest renews our strength. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13, I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That brings us to our last point, point number 5, and we see this all the way over in verse number 34. The Bible says that we should wait on the Lord. So we should not only trust in Him, delight in Him, commit our ways into Him, and also to rest in Him, we should wait on the Lord, as the Bible says in verse number 34. Wait means to stay for, to rest, or to remain stationary in expectation of the arrival of someone or something. Something my dad taught us all the time growing up. God is never late. A lot of times we're just too early. So many times we try to rush decisions. So many times we try to get ahead of God, and we need to truly wait on Him. If we're truly delighting in Him, we're going to wait on Him. If we're truly trusting in Him, we're going to wait on Him. If we're truly committed to Him, we're going to wait on Him. If we're truly resting in Him, then we'll wait on Him as well. A very valuable lesson that I've learned from our pastor is not to make any hasty decisions. I'm thankful for a pastor that's truly praying about the decisions of this church. He's seeking God about these things, and he's told me a number of times, maybe I've went to him about a particular situation, maybe something that I'd like to see done in the youth department and don't really have peace about it. Pastor says a number of times, just wait. God will give you the answer in His timing, and that's exactly right. And I've seen that come into fruition a number of times. So we must truly wait on God. Allow God to clearly direct your steps. The waiting time is not a time of laziness. We should be working while we're waiting as well. God doesn't expect us just to sit around and do nothing during the waiting process. He expects us to continue soul winning, to continue to work in His harvest fields. Again, allow God to truly direct your steps. The Bible says in verse number 23, again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Bible also says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that brings us to our conclusion tonight. Just a few simple thoughts to think about. Again, just something that God showed me in my devotion just a couple months ago, honestly. Well, what has God spoken to you about? I'll be honest with you. God has spoken to me about this. I need to trust Him more. I need to truly delight in Him. We delight in a lot of things. I need to truly commit more to Him. I know I truly need to rest more in the Lord. And the last thing, I truly need to wait on God. And I'd venture to say that most of us can agree to at least one of these things, something that we need to work on in our life, something that we could apply to our life. So again, are you truly trusting in God? Are you truly delighting in the Lord and in His work? Have you truly committed your life to the Lord? Are you truly resting in Him? Do you have peace in your life? Are you truly waiting on Him? I want God to direct every step I take. Everything I do, I want God to have a smile on His face and say, okay, that's what I want you to do. I hope that's all of our prayer tonight. So think about these things. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's something specific that God's spoken to you about tonight. Perhaps it's simply trusting in Him. Maybe you've got a question mark in your mind right now. Maybe you're not exactly sure why things are going as they're going in your life right now. Maybe God is trying to get you to trust Him more. And honestly, every single one of us can do that. Maybe you say, you know, I trust God. I'm serving Him faithfully and things like that. Maybe it's a matter of truly delighting in God. Maybe it's the third thing, and it's truly committing yourself to the Lord. Maybe you're sitting here today, and again, you've been coming to this church for a long time. You've been coming maybe just for a short time. You've never truly given your life to God. Yes, you've been saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've never truly committed yourself and said, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, that's what I want to do. God, if you want me to continue in this particular profession I'm in, great. If not, God, show me what you want me to do with my life. Many teenagers sitting in here tonight, have you truly given your life to the Lord, teenager? Have you waved that white flag of surrender and say, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, that is what I want to do. You know, as a teenager, my sophomore year, junior year in high school, I had my own plans made up in my mind. I was going to go off into this particular field and study this particular thing and all this kind of stuff. Well, when I gave up, when I surrendered to the Lord, God changed my desires into what He wanted for my life. Surrendered to full-time ministry, didn't know in what aspect that would be. But have you truly surrendered, teenager? Adults, have you truly surrendered? Have you truly committed unto the Lord? Are you truly finding rest in the Lord right now? And are you waiting on Him? Maybe you're in the midst of a big decision right now. Don't make hasty decisions, but truly wait on God and allow Him to show you the answers for whatever you're going through. Let's all stand at this time as the pianist begins to play. Again, what has God spoken to you about tonight? Trust Him. We need to delight in Him. Commit our ways into Him. We need to rest in Him. And we need to truly wait on Him. Maybe God spoke to you about something. This altar is available. If you'd like to come, please come. And at this time, that would be great. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted the free gift of salvation. If you died today, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If not, please come forward. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure you're going to heaven someday. As Brother Gary begins to sing, you come at this time.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Slide up for the deacons group. We'll show that here in just a moment.
If you'll take your prayer list out, let me give you the missionary prayer requests here real quickly. Dr. Cherian, who's going to be with us for our missions conference, and they're seeing folks saved. They are in the midst of their summer break, and they have people going all over the place to unreached people, people who've never heard the gospel, and they're trying to raise $9,000 for the summer ministry. They're also adding another floor to their building. What they do is they start building and they build it so you can build another floor on it. As they get more money, they build another floor. And so they're trying to raise about $63,000 for that. And then they also, they have an orphanage. Many of these children are now college age, and they, of course, want to support them. So really all of his prayer requests are about money. Money for building, money for the orphans, and money for the upcoming summer ministries. The Tolsons are in China, and they have some new folks have just arrived to help them going through language school. They asked us to pray about that. And then they are trying to buy a new van. They've got a car and just can't get everybody around, trying to raise about $15,000 to purchase a new vehicle. And finally, the Gibsons, they're working in Seattle, found out during the last 10 years they've had over 1,000 Japanese students in the two universities or community colleges they work in, and over 40 of those have made professions of faith. And the rest of the letter are testimonies of those young people. But let's just continue to pray that God would use them as they seek to reach these young people in those areas. Tonight, as we go to prayer, we are simplifying things a little bit as we kind of do this and figure out what works. Yes. Okay, we can do that. As you go to prayer tonight, I'll mention that one here in just a moment. Notice we have moved, not quite ready, sorry. There are now four areas. We had some issues with people going downstairs, people going upstairs. There are no stairs, okay? So we have several groups in the blue room. You can see that, just find your zip code. We have one group, the Jonesboro group in the home builders class in the gym, which is pastor's classroom. The auditorium is 37615, and I would encourage you, if you're in the auditorium, when we dismiss, don't just stay where you are. If you'll all kind of move about the front half of the center section, that will make it a lot easier. And then the final one is the men's class, and that's the first door on the right. So find your zip code, and that should give you direction about where you'll be going, okay? If you are going to be in the blue room, I want to encourage you to pray for the first three prayer requests in the center page. Blue room, folks, if you're feeling blue. The auditorium, if you're here in the auditorium, which is 37615, right across the bottom, pray for those three, and then also pray for Kermit Deacons, staff member of the week. He has some heart problems. If you are going to be in the home builders class, if you would pray for the missionaries and the laborers to New England and all of those places. If you are going in the men's class, if you'll pray on the backside, the hospital list, all the way down through the government officials. The last page is missions conference. Everyone should be praying for that tonight. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me give you two or three other prayer requests to add to your list if you have time toward the end. Received word today that they've called in hospice for Dale Sparks. Norman Cash, they called in hospice several weeks ago, I guess. So let's be praying for those two specifically. Pastors, he travels home tomorrow. Larry Rourke is in the hospital in Johnson City Medical Center with an infection. Be praying for him. And then do want to pray for Annis Bernard. Found a spot on her lung. As you know, she's had lung cancer. Hopefully it's not that. But as you have time toward the end, if you break up into groups, wherever your group does that, if you will pray for those. Okay? All right. I hope at this point you know where you're headed. All right. You are dismissed. Again, if you're in the auditorium, 37615, if you'll stay right here in the middle, and we'll let the Halls be about the last, or the Edwards, we'll let the Edwards be the last people there. Everybody sit in front of the Edwards.